Ephesians chapter 6, last message on the home. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at this. This is Palm Sunday. Normally, I'm talking about that. Thank you so much to the youth choir singing about that, and Hosanna. And I hope you are praising God in your life. If you don't, the rocks are going to cry out around you. And that's not going to happen on my watch. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, as we bring to a close our series of messages on the home, and we've only scratched the surface, there's so much more that could be said. But I pray that it would be our desire to have godly homes for the Andrews and Gabby Vicknairs of the world, that they would have a godly home for Stan and Emily, that we would have a godly home for every mom and dad or single parent that is here. I pray that we would have a godly home. Help us to do that, to apply your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've talked to the dads. Dad, we said your presence is required in the home, and your presence, your gifts are required. Then last week we talked to the moms, and we told them that how important they are. They can make a Christian home. They are the thermometer in the home. I got a slide that I liked. Someone showed me, and James has got it, I think. And so here it is. I asked God for strength and courage, and he sent my wife. And obviously, I just love that shirt right there. So, and the Bible says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing." And I'll tell you what, my wife over there is a good thing. And baby, I love you, and I am thrilled with you. And I'm looking forward to what you fix for lunch today. So here we are. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I'll tell you, I can't emphasize enough the joy that you have in serving the Lord and what it brings to the home. What you see here on Sunday morning, you can stop by anytime, but I really don't want that. But you could, you know. And practicing the things that we're talking about, the joy we have in our house is just really, really a good time. And that's because of Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with Emily and I and who we are and our personalities. It's what Christ brings into our home that is so exciting and so much fun. Mom, you are the thermometer in the home. You're the one that sets the temperature and how things are. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And that's a fact. But on the other hand, when you are happy and what you do for the kids in the home, and I'm not putting a lot of pressure on you to say you better be happy or you're going to destroy the home. That's not it. But I'll tell you what, the Christian life is a joyful life. And Mom, if you just make up your mind you're going to be like Christ and serve him, the fruits of Christianity, the fruits of the love, joy, peace, gentleness, all of those things will be an outflow of your home. It's just a natural byproduct. You don't have to work at those things. It happens. And thank God that it does. Noah Webster, in his 1828 dictionary, had this as one of his definitions of a model. Now, Andrew and I didn't talk at all, but it amazes me how he and I were on the same thought process when he was talking about what he had to share and what my notes are this morning. But a model is a pattern, anything to be imitated. And this is right out of the dictionary for Noah Webster in 1828. He says, "Take Cicero, Lord Chatham, or Burke as a model of eloquence. Take Washington as a model of integrity and patriotism. Above all, let Christ be the model of our benevolence, humility, obedience, and patience." That's what Webster said of a model. Mom and Dad, you are the model that your children will copy. It is not set in stone that your kids will be like you, but odds are they will be. As you look in the mirror, would you be happy that they emulated and excelled in every area of your life? Would you be happy if they worked like you, loved like you, paid their bills like you, drove like you, ate like you, drank like you, talked like you, worshipped like you? And if you can't answer to the affirmative to those things, then I'm saying your child doesn't need to change, you need to change. It's very important that you see that. So let's go Old Testament first in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book in your Bible. Books of the Law, Exodus chapter 6. Now, in verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them. That you might do them. Say that with me. That you might do them. James says, be ye a doer of the word and not hearers only. How many times have our parents told us to do something and that didn't necessarily happen? Oh, we heard them, but that didn't mean we wanted to. The Deuteronomy is saying that I'm going to say these things, but I'm saying them that you might do them. And then in verse 2, that thou mayest fear the Lord to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons. This is generationally. That thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. So if we do these things, our days are going to be prolonged, we'll live longer, and it will be well with us. Those are guarantees that God offers if we'll obey his word. Folks, the Bible's big news. It's so critical. And I'm afraid many problems that we are experiencing is because we have gotten away from the word of God, and I'll talk about that this evening in our evening Bible study. Now, these are the commandments. There's the commandments, then there are the judgments, and then there are the statutes that are mentioned in our text this morning. The commandments, obviously, are the Ten Commandments. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. You ought to know your Ten Commandments. We talk about them being ripped out of the school and all that, but the fact is our churches don't even talk about them a great deal. So here we are, the Ten Commandments are Exodus chapter 20, and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, number one. Number two, thou shalt make unto thee any graven images, no idols. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That's the first commandment with promise. You'll live longer if you obey your parents, kids. In other words, they won't kill you. All right? But the reality of it is that's a blessing to the entire society. Is children that obey their parents, society is better off for it. Okay? Number 13 is number 6, thou shalt not kill. 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. 8, thou shalt not steal. 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. 10, thou shalt not covet. Those are the commandments. You take those 10 commandments and you follow those guidelines, your life's going to go pretty well. Those were the understandings that the Jewish nation, the Israelites, had. Not only was there that, there was also the statutes. Those were other laws that were passed on top of the Ten Commandments that society needed for control. A speed limit is not a commandment. It's a statute that has been added so that you and I will live a more controlled life. There are laws that are added that we are supposed to obey that you would say, if you will, they're extra biblical. They're not in the Bible, but we've added them to society to make life better. So obviously those would be the statutes. And then the judgments are just wisdom to choose from right from wrong. You know, not everything has a chapter and verse in life. Isn't that true? Not everything you can say, oh boy, my Bible says, if you know what the Bible says about it, wonderful. But the Bible doesn't cover everything. That's where you ask God for wisdom. And am I supposed to work for this company? My Bible doesn't say whether you should work for the company you're working for. You ask God for wisdom, for judgment, for being able to make the right choices in your life so that you can live the fullest, best life, hopefully, in honor of our King. Does that make sense? So here are the things. God says, I want you to know these things that you might do them. And then if you go on in verse number 6, we'll skip 4 and 5. If you look, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Shall be in thine heart. Say that with me. Shall be in thine heart. Here's the deal. We've got the first part is a command. We've got the head knowledge. Things I know. I know some things. You know some things. Are they heart things? Not necessarily. And God is saying in his word in Deuteronomy, I want you to know these things, but not only do I want you to know them, I want them to be in your heart. I want them to be the very part of you, who you are. The commands of God's word are just as important as that muscle that's beating in your chest that keeps you alive. You should not separate God's word from any part of your life. We don't compartmentalize who we are. On Sunday, we aren't Christians, and on Monday, we're businessmen. No, you cannot separate one from the other. The things of this word right here have to be in our heart. They have to be who we are. And when we stop being as Christians what this book is, that's when our life starts falling apart. And there's just a million examples of that. And quite frankly, if you'll be honest with yourself, there's many examples in your own life where you know that would apply to, where you had the knowledge, but you did not live it. It was not part of you. It was not in your heart. And your life is sorry because of it. Isn't that true?
Yeah, whatever.
Move on, preacher, move on. So how does it become part of our heart? The things that we need to talk about and discuss are who we are. There are things that we believe in that shape who we are. Head knowledge and heart knowledge. You are going to pass on, listen to me, you are going to pass on what you believe. As a young person growing up, my father believed in a map and a compass. Not kidding. So as a young person, we were taught to read a map and we were taught to read a compass. And Dad says, many people have died in the woods because they had their compass with them and they refused to believe it and literally throw it away because they decided their compass was broken and they knew better which way to go. Dad told me all these stories and they didn't make it. Chances are your compass is not broken. Let me tell you something right here. This book, folks, is our compass, and it's not broken. And so many times the world is exceptional. It's saying the wrong thing over and over and over and over until it becomes accepted in society, but it's not accepted in God's word, and God's word is not broken. Society is. We need to get back to God's word, get back to the compass, and when we do that, we will not get lost. Does that make sense? Another thing that ticks me off is I was taught gun safety. And I'm a gun nut, and I'm a gun safety nut. And I love old shows, but I'll tell you what. Daniel Boone, the Rifleman, neither one of them should have been allowed to have a firearm. Daniel Boone's out there, Fess Parker, and he's talking, he's got his coonskin hat on, and he's got his muzzle loader, and he's got both hands right on over it, leaning on over it like this, and he's having a conversation. That drives me berserk. You don't ever put the barrel of a gun under your chin. Chuck Connors does the same thing on The Rifleman. The way they handle guns on that show, it just jumps me on the couch. I'm watching, don't do that! My kids have toy guns. They're not allowed to point them at anyone. Cody's got his handgun this morning, flaming orange. What happened to having guns that looked like guns? But anyway, he's got this flaming orange gun. He's showing his mother and he's pointing. I said, watch where you're pointing that thing. Point it on the ground. It's a toy. No, it's not. You don't ever, and gun safety and those things, when you see it being done wrong, if you care about those things, then it drives you crazy. Well, you know what? I'm also a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think I have an understanding of God's word. And I don't want to go berserk on you this morning, but sometimes as Christians, we're not practicing biblical safety in the life that we are leading. And if you know your Bible, that ought to bother you. Watch out for how you handle things. So here we are, and we're learning God's word. And how does that take place? In these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in your heart. And just as dangerous as handling a gun poorly is handling God's word poorly. So, verse number 7, thou shalt teach them diligently. And here's the deal. One of the mistakes I see in parenting, and of course I have all the answers, you should know that, that's why I get the big money, but One of the things I see, mistakes I see in parenting is that your kids are not going to catch anything other than the flu. They have to be taught. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Say that with me. Teach them diligently. So many times I see parents just waiting for their kids to see what they're doing and they'll get it. It won't happen. It's not going to happen. Did you hear me? It's not going to happen. You need to teach them. You grab them. You point them. You work with them. And you know what? I've found that's work. Do I like that? No. I'd rather sit around myself. I found, Mark touched on it this morning, about picking up toys in their rooms and stuff, and it'll take kids 2 days to pick up the toys in the room if you tell them to go do it, and we can do it in 5 minutes. And it's just quicker and easier if I go in and do that myself. Well, if I send Emily in to do that themselves. Okay? Emily's going to, she's going to confront me for lying when I get home if I don't tell this right, you know? But the reality of it is those kids need to understand how to do things for themselves. My concern is, what happens when they're 26 and they still don't pick up their room? Well, you know, life goes on. But the reality of it is, they have to be worked with and talked to and all of those things that go on. The reality is that you have to work with them and do those things and teach them diligently. And parent, you know what our problem is? We are lazy. We're just hoping they catch it. All that is laziness, because you know it won't happen. My mom used to have a saying, when someone's a disaster as an adult, they didn't grow up, they came up. Somebody didn't work with them. It takes a lot of patience, but it's the job that God has assigned to us when he gave us children, is to teach them diligently. Well, how does diligence look? Well, it tells us right here. When thou shalt talk with them, when thou sittest in thine house. Stop, when you're in the living room talking. How'd your day go? What'd you do? Who'd you talk to? Who are your friends? All of those things. That's one of the great things that happens around the dinner table, the supper table, is the conversation that takes place. I'll tell you what, the TV should not be the center of attention at dinner time. If you're having TV dinners every day when comes supper time, put a rock through that thing. Get back to the kitchen table, sit around the table, say, well, we never have anything to say. Oh, there'll be conversation, trust me. There is, and you can't predict how that's going to go. But I'll tell you what, it's a good time, isn't it, hon? We learn so much. We get entertained. You don't have to buy tickets for this. It's free, you know? But I'll tell you, in that conversation, you'll hear some things. If you are watching TV together, I don't know about you, but sometimes we'll see something on TV, we'll say, our kids shouldn't have seen that. And it can be any type of show. I'm not talking about things we know not to watch. It can just catch us an ad can catch you unawares. That's a great opportunity for you to talk to your kids about certain things that are right and wrong. You know? All of those things. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest, by the way, in verse number 7. When thou talk with them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. Hopefully you're having some walks with your family. Back then, they didn't ride anywhere. They walked. There's no cars. But obviously, what you could say, and when thou drivest in thine car. How's that for King James Version? Huh? When thou ridest in thine car. What are you talking about in the car? Nowadays, everybody's got their pod thing there going on. And you know, you could see a moose in the road. Hey, kids, look at the moose. They wouldn't see it. They know you're doing this stuff here. Sometimes that should not be happening. Sometimes the kids should be required to not have a device on in the car and actually look around. You know, we made a mistake on our first on the A-team is that we're always doing things and they're always playing their things. And then as they got to be teenage and as it's time for them to drive, they didn't know where anything was. They had never noticed where this place was or that street was or all those things. And that's not their fault. That's my fault. What? I'm preaching here. Don't mess with my preaching. Huh? That wasn't you? That was Phil? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's not. So obviously, Wesley, don't send out this tape this week. We'll hang on to this one. I've got to work with my family a little bit afterwards, you know. But the reality of it is the kid, they don't see the things that they used to see. When you're riding in your car, talk about, not only that, sometimes you see things that it's a great opportunity to talk about creation. Have you looked at a turkey lately? What was God thinking? They're everywhere. That is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And the way they walk, you know. I challenge you, it's not legal, so I hope there's no game wardens in the room, but just take your 22 and see if you can get one headshot, because I'll tell you, if you can shoot. Those are all things. God created the turkey. Those are conversations that we should be having. You know what happens is when they go to school, if they're going to public school, if they're watching PBS or whatever, they're told billions and billions and billions of years, you've got to overcome that. You've got to make sure your kids understand there's not billions of years, there's thousands of years. God put us here, and he's going to come and get us, and it's got nothing to do with evolution. But those are the things that need to be discussed. When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down. When you go to bed with your kids at night, don't send them into your room. Go in their room. You know, nowadays, every now and then you hear about some child getting in trouble or something because something was in their bedroom. Well, parent, why weren't you ever in their bedroom? What's that about? Well, that's their private space. Who pays the rent on that room that they're in? Huh? Do you get a check every week for that? I don't think so. Okay? That's your space. That's not their room. That's the room you allow them to stay in. Make sure they understand that. My kids early on started referring to it. That's my room. I said, no, that's not your room. That's my room. You're allowed to sleep there. The whole place is mine. They need to understand that. When they go to bed at night, go in with them. Tuck them in. Pray with them. Talk to them. When thou liest down and when thou risest up. Emily's got on the chalkboard right now. She's had it there for a couple of months. And in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Right? I don't know what the first thought in your mind is. Sometimes there's trials going on. Friend of the family just passed away yesterday. I am positive that wife's first thought this morning was that Dave's gone. I'm sure of that. But under normal circumstances, I'd hope that your first thoughts are the things of the Lord. In all of that, those things have to be in thine heart. This has to be who we are in Christ. Obviously, that's Old Testament. New Testament talks about the same thing. We're out of time, but Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to read you verse 6 from the Living Bible. And now a word to you parents. This is from the Living Bible, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. Here's the deal. I don't know how. I'm hoping that after today, the A-team will still speak to me. But the older kids, it seems like they've grown. They're getting, Tori's here this morning. She isn't usually. Phil's moving to Augusta. Yes. Anyway, but isn't that awful? Yeah. So I truly believe those two have a heart for the things of the Lord. Okay? I believe that, Tori. Even though, and Phil, I believe that. Okay, I don't know how the next two are going to do. I'm hoping they are like their older brother and sister. Having said that, I've known preachers that their kids didn't turn out well. I'm not sure I have the answer for that, but I think one answer is this, is that Christians, yes, we have rules, but we don't live them because we have to. We live them because we want to. And there's joy in our faith. And we laugh and we cry and we play and we're happy. And they see us living a life that makes sense. I've seen some homes where you do that, you do this. And the kids can't ever win. And it seems like mom and dad are always mad. And they start to resent what it is that we believe. And all of those things take place. And the kids say, I know that Christianity, all that stuff, whatever they want to say. But as soon as I can get out of here, I'm out of here. And not only are they out of the home, they're out of the church. And I think part of that is the life that mom and dad modeled wasn't the life of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that's the case in every case, but I'll tell you what, mom and dad, you be real. You be loving. You be genuine. You be living a life that is in your heart, planted there by Jesus Christ himself. And when you do that, my prayer is that your kids will follow you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had this morning. Lord, serving you is the greatest life. I want so much to convey that to these families and to the people in our church and to the young mom and dad raising kids. And if they're not scared, they ought to be. It's a huge responsibility, and we don't know how it's going to go. But I do know that what's in our heart matters. It starts off with a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're recognizing that we're not perfect and that we are sinners and we need a Savior. We ask for you to come into our heart by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. And then, Lord, after that takes place, we grow in you. We get baptized. We join the church. We start giving of ourselves and our finances. You shape our heart and life. Lord, we need you. And I pray for the homes and the kids and the families in this church that they just make up their mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and that we will honor you. And on Palm Sunday, we will praise you. We'll be so thankful. Lord, I thank you for my four kids, Phil and Tori, for Katie and Cody. I thank you for the people that the oldest group had brought into their life, and I pray that you would bless them. And Phil gets married in June, and Tori's already married, and her husband is here. And Lord, those are gifts from you. Direct their lives. Thank you for Emily, and how she came into my life, and by the power and the gift from you, she rescued me. I need her almost as much as I need you. So God, dedicate our homes, sanctify our homes, bless our homes as we live for you. If you've spoken to us this morning, if there are folks here that need to trust you as their personal Savior, I pray right now they'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then maybe there are homes struggling here and they recognize there's some areas of their life that need to be handled. I pray right now that they, in the conviction and the quietness of this time in their heart, that they would be talking to you about what needs to be done. Help them to make up their minds it's going to happen. I pray for our young people, the kids. Oh, what treasures, what joys they are. Bless them, please. Help them to have hearts for the things of you. Help them to choose you as their Savior and live for you. And Lord, we're going to be dead and gone one of these days, and they will be the ones holding the helm and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Give them great ability to do that. God bless this church, the invitation. May our altars be full of people speaking to you. In Jesus' name, amen.